Jason Walker. Would you prefer to just talk about the Cincinnati Reds? They won today, walk-off home run. Would that be better for you?
They're a 500 team. That's practically playoff ticket worthy.
Well, I mean, you know, Dusty, it's May. Dusty hadn't worn out the pitching staff yet.
That's right.
Give it him at least 2 months to do that, then he'll be ready to rock and roll, and Homer Bailey will be coming down with elbow problems. How are you? Did you recover?
Did I recover? Oh, I was recovered by about the end of the third quarter. It was, it was the game was so far no longer in doubt that you. By the time you left the arena last night, you were, you know, you're already well within the frame of mind to get to game two.
Well, Jason, now look, you and I have watched the Atlanta Hawks for a long time. I think 79 was my first year when Dick Motta and the Bullets beat us in the playoffs.
Right.
You about the same time because you're older than I am, and I remind you on that on a regular basis.
Wiser.
Right. We've been watching this team for 30 years. I can't remember anything like that last night. Can you?
Oh, no. Sadly, it's because we haven't been in this position too often. But if you give me a choice between, you know, getting beat like that for one game and losing the kind of game we lost to Boston in the Omni with Dominique, you know, I'll take a beating like last night over losing that heartbreaker.
Well, because
what Jamal Crawford was telling us after the fact. Look, the Hawks are an emotionally volatile team. When they're up and things are going good for them, you almost. You know, they can't be stopped, and that's what we see in a lot of these games against the Lakers and Utahs.
Yep.
Some of these great teams that are still playing, the Hawks handle them. And, you know, they're just an emotionally viable team. Now, the flip side of that is when things go bad or when they're frustrated, you know, they absolutely stop working. They stop doing things. And, there was the play that really kind of symbolized that was when Josh Smith came back into the game after having two fouls in the first quarter, came back, went down the baseline, and threw up an air ball, which Dwight Howard caught. Smith jumped off his feet like a child and stomped his feet in protest as the Magic raced down the court and got a dunk from Matt Barnes, making the score 40-27 there in the second quarter. That defines what happens to the Hawks when things aren't going well. And it snowballed from there. There's no strong personality on that team to right the ship. The closest thing they have is Mike Bibby, and Mike can only do so much at this point in his career. So when things start to snowball like that, and we've seen this throughout the regular season, it's over. And they're ready to move on. They've done it so often, and Mark Bradley mentions it today in his piece and on his blog. And this has happened so much, they're almost willing to throw, all right, well, it's not working out for us today. Let's regroup for game two, and we'll come back. And I'll say this, that even though they were annihilated last night, some might think, well, that's just demoralizing. That's not the way these guys work. Their minds do not work that way. They are like a cornerback. They are like Charles Dimery at times. Hey, I got burned six times. I'm ready for that seven.
Thanks for that.
They'll be back in game two tomorrow night. And, you know, even though I don't think that, you know, their offense can beat the Magic's defense, and it's been proven this year and last year, mentally they'll be prepared. And I expect them to play, you know, at least in the beginning, they'll have energy and fire, and hopefully they can persevere.
But how can they? How can they? I mean, how can they? Well, I mean, that should have happened in game one. How can you have a team come out and look that horrible in game one of a series, even if you're going up against Dwight Howard, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and, you know, James Worthy? I mean, that was the most embarrassing, pathetic performance from a team. We thought last week against Milwaukee was bad in game five. I mean, that last night, and you were there. I'm preaching the choir for crying out loud, but I mean,
right.
How bad can you get to lose by 43 points? And it could have been worse than that, to be honest with you.
Well, it's the difference between a team like Milwaukee and a team like Atlanta. When things, the Hawks do well when things are going well. When things aren't going well, you can call it maturity. You can call it whatever you want to, but they do not have the resolve to dig deep and get back in a game like that. I mean, how many comebacks have the Hawks had? How many serious comebacks have they had? They have to be in the game to stay mentally into it. If things start to slip away, they're too willing to stop doing the hard work, and they just start relying on isolation plays. And that was obvious even in the second quarter. And it wasn't, you know, people want to blame Joe Johnson for isolation. It's not just Joe Johnson. It's in the post with Horford. It's in the post with Smith, Marvin Williams, you know, Jamal Crawford. A lot of isolation. The ball stopped moving, and that just then things started to snowball from there. They've got to keep moving the basketball. They got to keep that Magic defense moving, or it just gets tougher and tougher to score.
But there's nothing to put the brakes on this team when that stuff is happening. That's what doesn't make any sense. A lot of times,
you heard Coach Woodson after the game talk about, "I don't have any idea." I asked him the question. Why you guys came out with energy, and then as soon as the second quarter started, poof, it was gone. You know, how do you explain that? He said, "I don't have any idea." You know, wish I knew. You know, but we've seen this before from this team, so there's no reason to, you know, there's no reason to question it. They are who they are. That's who they are. When things go bad, things are going to go really bad.
But isn't that his job to know what the heck's going on? I mean, when you're getting beat by 43 points, don't you have to have some ability to stop it? I mean, it's like if you're down by 31-0 at halftime against Alabama, aren't you going to do something to put the brakes on it, for crying out loud? Oh, that wrong team. I mean, but still, same thing. You know, it's like, do something, go ape doo-doo on the sideline, go Hubie Brown on somebody, for crying out loud, instead of sitting over there rubbing your eyebrows.
Well, obviously he's not going to, he has established that he's not going to take a stand against the veterans on the team or the guys that have played a long time. He'll pick his spots on, you know, Jeff Teague, or he'll take on some of the younger players to make a point, but he's not going to do it to the guys that are on the floor. He's not going to do it to Joe Johnson. Not going to do it to Josh Smith. So,
but
you
should
know,
he?
If someone believes it's his job and they want somebody in there to do that, then they're going to have to replace him, because Mike has shown that, you know, that's not his style.
All right, but Jason, should he? I mean, Joe Johnson, once again, irrelevant. What should a coach do in that situation? Call him out?
Well, it wasn't just Joe. I mean, I know. You can't single Joe out. You can't sit the whole team.
But he had eight points.
He ended up doing it, in the, you know, when the game was totally out of reach. But, you know, these guys, it's up to the players. They've got to just do the work. They've got to do it. And maybe it's the coach's fault for not instilling this in them throughout the season when these games came up, when they played tougher teams, when their lack of offensive motion was prevalent at times. They simply did not approach it then. They don't see it as a problem. They rely on their athleticism to make shots and win games, and against good defenses, as we saw against Cleveland last year, and as we've seen time and time again against Orlando, it just doesn't work. Just doesn't work.
Jason Walker, our guest, PatriotHoops.com. All right, Woodson went with the strategy of putting Jason Collins in early.
Right.
Later replaced Josh with Zaza. What were your thoughts? I think you asked him about this, didn't you? What were your thoughts on it first, and what did he say?
Well, you know, obviously I think he wishes he had a mulligan on that whole thing. You know, the game was such a debacle that one decision obviously didn't prove costly. He was managing as if the score was going to be something competitive when he put Al Horford back in the game against Marcin Gortat, or, you know, later in the game, worrying about his second foul. As I wrote in the piece on Peachtree Hoops this morning, hey, it was the one piece of strategy that worked. He wanted to use some fouls for Jason Collins, mission accomplished, and he wanted to keep Al Horford from getting a second foul, which, if you look at the box score, Al Horford did not get a second foul. So mission accomplished there. In terms of the bigger picture, I think we'll see that, you know, the Hawks are just going to try to win with Horford. Let's not play not to lose. Let's not get too cute and take one of your best offensive weapons. And the one person who we identified, and Bill, we talked about this on the last time, the one guy that needed to be out there to try to pull Howard from the basket by hitting those pick and pops, well, he can't do that when he's not in the game. And there was a significant period of time between the 6-11 mark in the first quarter and the time that he came in the second quarter where Horford was not on the floor and Howard was on the floor the whole time. And that's when, between that and Josh Smith's second foul, that's when things really came unraveled for the Hawks.
Well, but that's when you have to make the adjustment, right? You have to do something to scrap it quickly, especially if you see Howard still out there and him having his way.
Well, I think, like I said, I think if Woody had a mulligan for last night, other than everything else, I think that's the one thing he would redo, because it didn't work.
Well, and
I understand what he was trying to do, but that's getting too cute. Have Horford on the floor.
Yeah.
Horford and Smith are the keys of this team. You
right.
can't monkey around with those guys.
But so, Jay, that would have worked in November, right? I mean, or December. That would have worked if you're in regular season and you're preparing for the playoffs right. and trying to figure out what you're going to do. They've had four games against Orlando. If the only thing he could come up with right there after four games, three of which were pretty much blowouts by Orlando, was to have Jason Collins be out there on the court, that's dumb coaching. That is really, really bad, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a good move, and it proved to be so. And by the time Horford got back in the game, you know, the snowball had already started to roll. So, you know, it's like I said, it didn't even work the last time they were in Orlando. They tried to play Jason Collins, and the Magic went on a huge run with Collins in the game. The problem with Collins is you put him in to soak up some fouls. You're playing 4-on-5 going the other way. He's not an offensive threat. Even though he can knock down a couple of jumpers in garbage time, you know, he's not going to be any kind of crunch time player. He's not going to be any – when the game is in doubt, that's not when you want to have Jason Collins on the floor. So, you know, it didn't work. Let's hope we don't see that in game two.
Jason Walker, our guest. All right, who's going to be the new head coach?
Are you throwing your hat in the ring?
No.
Whoever coaches the Atlanta Hawks next year, we do know one thing. It won't. You know, it will be cheap. They're not going to pay a lot of money for a guy to coach. So, you know, I would expect that Mike Woodson's going to get more lucrative offers from other teams, especially if this ends badly against Orlando. And he'll get offers from places. I would assume he'd get offers from places like Philadelphia. I mean, Woodson's got a track record that he can point to with a good young team. He's a likable fellow. So, I mean, I think he'll get offers. But whoever coaches the Hawks, you know, is going to have to take, you know, by NBA salary standards, probably a pretty meager paycheck. That's just a guess, but that's just, you know, that's based on what we've seen.
Well, so, I mean, you think they may bounce back and actually not be dead in the water? I mean, I guess if they get beat by 42, it's going to be an improvement, right?
Well, I still think that they're not, you know, Orlando is clearly the better team. We picked them to win in five. We picked them to win the first two games. And then, you know, the Hawks get back on, you know, get a game in game three and lose a close one in game four, and the Magic close out at home. So this is not a surprise that the Magic are better than the Hawks, that the Hawks stopped playing and stopped moving the basketball, just stopped all the way down the line. That was somewhat of a surprise, but we've seen that before. But, yeah, this, like I said, the team is not – they don't get demoralized by stuff like this. I mean, the game five loss – against Milwaukee, that was a tough one, but they bounced right back. When they've lost tough games in the regular season, you thought, uh-oh, here comes a losing streak. They bounced back. Mm. You know, like I said, they're an emotionally volatile team. They'll rally around this. They'll come out. They'll play hard. And if things go right for them early on, they'll be fine. But if things, you know, begin to snowball again, it could be another 20-plus point loss.
Hard to watch. Hard to watch, and just made you sick watching it last night. It was just embarrassing, you know, and I'm sure it wasn't fun for you because you were obviously there. You live in Orlando, but you are a big Hawks fan and have covered this team for a long time as well, and it couldn't have been very fun last night, and it was loud as heck, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, you got to give it up to the Magic fans. I mean, they were still into it. The team was up 30, and they were still cheering as if this was a tight game and the Magic were scoring a key basket. You know, not to put down the ATL fans, but, you know, we need a little bit more than that to stay interested, right? We're kind of an L.A., you know, Dodger kind of crowd. We're just kind of sit back and, hey, we're up by 20. It's nice, you know. Let me get a beverage and everything else. But imagine they were just rabid. So you got to give them credit for that. But, yeah, Bill, the game was, you know, it wasn't a surprise, but it was still extremely disappointing. It was disappointing for those guys. It's disappointing for those of us that watch a team and cover them. You know, not what you want. It's disappointing as an NBA fan. You're watching the second round of the playoffs. You expect a certain level of competition. And, you know, and you get that. That's, you know, a disappointment on a ton of levels.
Yes, it is, sir. But I just can't wait for the press conference and Sam Mitchell's introduces the new head coach. Well, you know, truthfully, I mean, all jokes aside, the ticket was punched last night, was it not? I mean, that pretty much that had to seal the deal, don't you think?
Well, you know, you can't say that because if they come back and and show life and push the series to seven games, I mean, you're going to have some doubt at that point. But, you know, if the team shows like that for four games, I think the pendulum is swinging pretty hard in the other direction.
Yeah, I do too. Paging Kevin Lockery. Kevin Lockery, please report to Phillips Arena. All right.
Hey, Hubie knows this team. Get Hubie back on the bench.
Hubie. Doug Collins. Doug Collins. We'll save that show for next week. Jason, are you going tomorrow night?
I will. Petrie Hoops will be.
You're going back, huh?
At Amway Arena. We'll go back for another one. Like I said, I really, if people are thinking of watching or not watching based on that first game, I feel like they're going to be back. They're going to be emotionally into it. They're going to be fired up. They're going to give the Magic, you know, everything they have. And, you know, I just hope Woodson plays the best guys at the best times.
Yeah, no, but
you know,
really, okay.
Too cute,
but listen,
everything they can get out of their best players to beat the Magic.
But listen, what you just said. You hope the coach plays his best players. That tells you a lot about this guy.
It was a mistake.
I know.
It was a bad move.
Pretty bad. All right, Jay. Thank you as always. PeachTreeHoops.com's got it covered. Complete coverage of the playoffs with the Atlanta Hawks and the Orlando Magic. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Bill.